Welcome to Sound Odyssey, only on 94.7 KPIP LP Fayette. Sound Odyssey is brought to you through the generous support of the Petrichor Store. It's on the square in Fayette at 108 North Church Street. Contact them at 573-355-1099. It's a place where you'll find a wide range of unique and useful items, from jewelry to incense to wall hangings and more. The Petrichor Store is open Tuesdays through Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Sundays until 2 p.m. What steps will you take this week? Stop calling it a dream and start calling it a plan.
Thank you.
This is Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP. I'm Rachel Steele, and today we're taking this time to mourn the loss of a very special young woman, Fayette's own Elizabeth, Libby, Melody, and Dodd. And with me today is her brother-in-law, Bob Anderson, the owner and operator of one of Fayette's newest stores on the Courthouse Square, Petrichor. Without his sponsorship, I might add, we would not be able to keep creating Sound Odyssey for you. So thank you for being with us today, Bob, and thank you for helping KPIP. And from all of us at the radio station, condolences to you and your family on this huge loss.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Melody Ann Dodd of Fayette was born September 24th, 2000. Courts say with an almost unmatched intellect. Bob, you knew her. What was Libby like when she was a young girl?
I didn't know her when she was a young girl, but the stories that I've collected, they describe a woman of incredible intelligence, gifted in almost all areas of life. She was described as an indigo child in that she was born with gifts that are beyond what most of us are given. To give you an idea of what kind of intellect she possessed, universities, including Duke University, started courting her at the age of 11. Over the following 5 or 6 years, she received over 20 letters from Duke University saying, please come.
Oh my goodness. She was a very special young girl when it came to her education. You were telling me the story about her completing her high school degree very quickly. Now, how quickly are we talking when we say, quote, very quickly?
Well, through homeschooling, she was able to earn her diploma in 6 months.
6 months. And she started classes in college when?
At the age of 15.
Cannot imagine what it would be like to go to college at the age of 15. That is impressive.
It was a challenge for her.
I can imagine.
She didn't fit in socially. I mean, she was intellectually, she was on a par with her other college students, but...
And probably some of her professors.
It's true. But no college student's going to want to hang with a 15-year-old.
Yeah. There is that age difference. And it does matter.
Yes, I think it was because of that social disparity that she ended up not following through on her college courses.
After finishing high school in 6 months came the college talk and the search section of life that a lot of us go through. I know you personally, as a friend, you went into the Air Force.
Yes.
A lot of people do that. Libby decided that she wanted to go to college.
She had all the gifts. I mean, college seemed like the natural next step. As I said, Duke University in particular definitely wanted her. They invited her up to the campus to see which programs she would be most interested in. Mm-hmm. Mathematics, science, engineering. I mean, they were basically throwing the university at her feet. Over a period of 5 or 6 years, she received in excess of 20 letters from Duke alone. That doesn't include the other universities that were courting her. Unfortunately, despite the scholarships that she was eligible for, none of those would cover the cost of her family moving. She couldn't be without her family. They couldn't live there. So instead, she had to attend locally. And that was why she went to CMU.
So yeah, she went and took her very first class at Central Methodist University at the age of 15. That is amazing. Bottom line is, she could have gone anywhere with her talents, but without the means to relocate at her age, she was unable to go to Duke, even right. If she had really wanted to go there.
And as phenomenal as her academic talents were, she also exceeded in sports. In softball in particular, she was being courted for advancement with that. I think they were sizing her up for scholarships on softball alone. She was also a gifted actress, writer, singer. There wasn't anything that she couldn't do.
Golden child.
Indigo child.
Indigo child, yes. So here, not only was she smart, she was a top-notch makeup artist. How did she learn this skill, and what did she decide to do with the talent?
Most of her skills were self-taught. If she showed an interest in something, she would pursue it. Along with her natural talents, she just became good at everything. Around that time, 15, 16, she took a part-time job at a haunted house.
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing. You know, partly because of her interest in the macabre, and partly because of her makeup skills.
Yeah, that would be a great place to be if you were a makeup artist, yeah. I imagine. But that didn't go so well, did it?
No, it didn't. It was through that she fell in with the bad crowd and became exposed to...
An alternative lifestyle. is a nice way of saying...
That would be a very nice way of putting it.
She got into the wrong crowd that were doing the wrong things and holding her back from achieving her full potential.
She found a clique that would accept her. And part of belonging to that clique was taking illicit substances, generally partying.
Yeah. So here is a talented, impressively intelligent young woman of 15 studying at CMU. Her whole future seemed to be set up for success. She goes and does some makeup work, shares her talent with the community through a haunted house that is local to this area. What happened? Because we have a child who is undoubtedly talented, super smart, has her whole life ahead of her. How does that go from that path to the path that ended up finally causing her demise?
Well, as I said, she didn't fit in with any group. She was too smart for her peers. She was too young for her intellectual peers. Nobody could relate to her. And here she found a social group that would accept her if she behaved the way they did, if they got into the things that they were interested in.
So basically, she started doing drugs.
In a phrase, yes. In so many words.
Yet another victim from this area, which has been, from what I understand, notoriously been plagued by substance abuse. And a lot of people here are victims of the opioid crisis. And we have another one of those right here.
That's been my understanding as well.
As the coroner said, she died of an overdose.
Yes. We don't know a lot of details about it because it is still an open case under investigation. But from the hospital, we have learned that she died of an overdose of fentanyl. And the thing that's dubious about that is that she tended to stay away from fentanyl. Mm-hmm. She knew it was not a good choice for her.
Very dangerous.
Right. So we don't know if it was slipped to her, if she took something that was laced with fentanyl, or... And I hate to say this, it's entirely possible it was an attempt at self-harm.
Had she ever tried to harm herself before?
Yes. I don't know all the details about that, but she did suffer with depression and paranoia, largely due to the addictions.
But she had a near-death experience before this terminated her life. What was that?
Just a few months ago, during the cold snap that we had, I think it was in December, she was found in a ditch in Columbia, and for all intents and purposes, she was dead.
No pulse.
Her body temp was 15 degrees below normal. Poor body temp. She wasn't breathing. She had no pulse. The incredible medical staff, they brought her back. I mean, she was in a coma for 6 weeks, and we kept waiting to hear that call saying, she's done.
I'm sorry, she's gone.
But she survived.
Did she struggle with any disabilities afterwards?
Only temporarily. I mean, we expected there to be some brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, when she came back, you couldn't tell that there had been any decrease in function.
So how old was she when she had this accident? Which, it wasn't an accident, but...
The near-death experience?
The near-death experience.
That was just a couple of months ago.
What kind of lifestyle was she living while this was going on? Did she have a car?
No. She left home several times. Part of her addiction was that it turned her incredible intelligence against her.
How so?
Nobody could keep up with her. She's outsmarting counselors, outsmarting drug addiction specialists, mental health professionals, her own parents. She learned how to work the system. She learned how to manipulate people to get what she wanted.
So she was living basically a vagabond lifestyle, and she would come home to visit her parents every now and then, and she just kept getting worse and getting worse and getting worse.
Right. She would leave home, and she would go to live with friends. She'd go to live with other family members, and she was frequently homeless, often living for weeks at a time out of a motel room when she could afford it. But most of her resources went to getting drugs.
Yes. And this is a reminder to everyone who can hear our voices that addiction is a disease. It is not something that, oh, well, she's ignorant, or she never had a good start in life. She was super smart, and even her smarts could not keep her from this opioid crisis
right. That
is going on in America and our own community.
Drug addiction is not limited to the uneducated or the stupid. it's something that affects everyone.
It does. It
can affect everyone. Drug addiction is something that not only can affect anyone, but it does affect everyone.
It does. It's not just the person who is addicted that has problems. It's the people who are in their life and the people that love them that suffer too.
It's been a terrible burden on the family.
It's been a terrible burden on the entire United States of America. And I think people here in Fayette need to realize, just right here in Fayette, Missouri, drug addiction and alcohol addiction is a disease. It's honest to goodness a diagnosable disease, and there are treatments for it, but you have to understand that you cannot force a person who has wrapped themselves up in this opioid crisis blanket. You cannot make them get help. They have to realize that they need help on their own. Can you tell me a little bit about the family she left behind and what they did to try and help her as they saw her going downhill?
Oh, so many things. Her parents tried to help her on their own. At one point, she was made a ward of the state. She's been in and out of rehab so many times, mental health facilities, so many things, so many opportunities were laid in front of her. The near-death experience was the biggest one. She's in a coma for 6 weeks. When she came out, she was clean. She was straight, and she wanted to stay that way. She tried so hard, but the lifestyle called her back, and it cost her life.
And her, quote, friends called her back. And the only thing that I can say, it is not much solace to anyone who has lost someone. My late husband, I lost to an overdose. You cannot help someone until they reach rock bottom, whatever their rock bottom is. And from there, you can help them. But they've got to do the work themselves and to remember that drugs and illicit substances lead to 3 things, jails, institutions, and death. Unfortunately, that's one of the things that we have here.
For all intents and purposes, she hit rock bottom. She died.
Yeah.
And was brought back. She was given a new chance, and it wasn't enough. Like I say, she tried. I know she wanted to be straight. I know she tried. But by that time, I think the only direction she knew was down.
Can you tell me a little bit about your family and the people she left behind?
She has a large family in some respects, and they were very supportive. Amy and Sean Connell live here in Fayette. Her father and his wife, Lance and Colleen Dodd, live in McGurk. Her grandparents, Steve and Diane Miller of California, and Steve and Pam Leiby, also of California.
California, Missouri?
Yes. She has several cousins, and of course, I didn't regard her just as a sister-in-law. She was my sister. And then, of course, there's her older sister, Nikki, my wife, who passed away 2 years ago.
Nikki died after receiving 2 liver transplants that didn't take.
She had an autoimmune disorder that plagued her most of her life. And after her second liver transplant began to fail, she decided to go on hospice. And her mother and I were there with her when she passed away.
So you were with her throughout the process?
Yes.
This is a very personal question, and you don't have to answer it. What do you think is harder, losing someone you love to an act of God or losing someone that you love to drugs? Is there a difference between them? Because now you've experienced both. Your whole family has.
It's easy to say that losing someone to drugs is easier because that was a choice. But that doesn't begin to cover the sense of loss. Both of them are a tragedy in equal measures. For myself, I can't really place one loss beyond the other. Nikki was my wife. Libby was my sister.
I know they both fought.
They both fought hard.
They did. And something beyond their control took them from you, your family, in this community. And until we address this opioid crisis, more people are going to experience what you are experiencing right now. And I am so sorry about that. And that's one of the reasons why, if you're listening to this, it's helpful for you to write your congressman, your senator, your representatives, and ask for an end to this silent war. I understand we're living through a pandemic, but this is just as important. So fentanyl took Libby. And now she's another killed by the opioid crisis raging in this country. Elizabeth Libby Dodd passed away on March 22nd, 2021. She was found in a motel room. Authorities found very few of her belongings, stating that most of them had probably been stolen by other opioid crisis victims that are still in their addiction. She was only 20 years old when she passed away.
Only 20. Libby was the last of two children to Amy Connell and Lance Dodd. Now they're both being laid to rest. And Rachel, if I may, I'd like to make an appeal. Having to bury two children within 2 years has been an incredible financial burden on our parents. And to that end, I've started a GoFundMe page where people can donate to help alleviate that burden. To find it, just go to GoFundMe.com, and it's listed under Funeral Fund for Libby Dodd.
That's D-O-D-D.
Yes.
And you can find that information on our Facebook page as well, if it's easier for you to remember. The radio station Facebook page is KPIP-LP Fayette, and we'll have the information there.
And it's also on Petrichor's Facebook page, as well as several flyers throughout town.
And for those of you who don't know, how do you spell Petrichor?
P-E-T-R-I-C-H-O-R.
And Petrichor is also on the Courthouse Square in Fayette, so you can drop in and make a donation that way as well.
We are accepting cash donations as well.
And soon, we think there may be a fund set up with Commercial Trust Bank.
We're working on that right now.
Yeah. So we'll keep you abreast of developing activities as far as how people can help the Dodd family and the Connell family bury Libby. Because there is no money, and it's needed.
Yeah, even if you can only offer a dollar, 100 people offering a dollar is $100.
It is. Whatever you can spare, please do so for this family. They have been through it the past couple of years, and they need over $4,000 to put Libby to rest. So if you or someone you know can donate to help bury one of our own, please contact us. How can someone make a donation?
We have the GoFundMe. We're setting up a memorial fund at Commercial Trust Bank. You can make cash donations through the radio station or the store.
Yes. And you can always, the fourth one is that you can always stop by the store and drop off a donation. So that would be the way to do that.
And as a last thing, if you can't donate any funds at this time, please go to one of our websites and share the link.
Yes, that is very important. If you can't afford to make a donation, what we really need is exposure. And the more people we can get our GoFundMe page and the story about Libby and Nikki out there, not only will it help other people gain knowledge who are in the same situation that you are in, but it will also, with your donation and you sharing her story in this link, it will also help the family grieve and pay for the funeral of Libby. Let me ask you a couple of questions on how people can get in touch with you. What is your phone number here at Petrichor?
My number is 573-355-1099.
And do you have an email address?
I do. It's the Petrichor Store. It's THEPETRICHORSTORE at gmail.com.
And you can also go to GoFundMe and donate that way.
And that's
for the funeral fund of Libby Dodd.
For Libby Dodd.
Also, if you have any ideas about what we could do to raise additional money in another way, we are open to suggestions.
That would be great, too.
And we would appreciate anything that you have to offer.
So far, the generations have been very generous, but we've still got a ways to go to meet our goal.
Thank you, Bob. Know that you are in all our thoughts. And if everyone out there who can hear my voice can contact us, stop by Petrichor, or forward our post on the Facebook page for Petrichor or on the Facebook page for KPIP. If you can send those along to your friends on the internet, that will help us as well. Thank you again for being with us today, Bob.
Thank you, Rachel.
For KPIP's Local Voices, I'm Rachel Steele, 94.7 KPIP.
Kid Abby.
thanks for tuning in to KPIP's Sound Odyssey, made possible by the Petrichor Store on the Courthouse Square in Fayette. Thank you. We hope you're enjoying Sound Odyssey on 94.7 KPIP. This episode is brought to you by our friends at the Petrichor Store on the Courthouse Square in downtown Fayette.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Sound Odyssey, brought to you by the Petrichor Store on the Courthouse Square in Fayette. Make sure you tune in every Friday at 11 p.m. for another episode of Sound Odyssey, only on 94.7 KPIP. Overnight programming begins now.